Hello again, and welcome, welcome, welcome to What'd You Think, the After the Movie Movie Show, that is the drive home from the movie. As always, this episode, as all others, are filled with spoilers. So if you haven't seen the movie yet and you really enjoy spoilers, then hey. But this is fair warning, so no tears when we spoil it for you. Thanks for dialing us up. And today, I have both Bobby and Drusilla Blakey with me here today.
Yay.
And so I get to talk to the both of the dynamic duo together.
Nice.
Drusilla, thanks so much for being with us on the show today.
Yay, thank you for asking me. I'm so excited.
Oh, good. Well, with Hercules, we're going to go ahead and start out like we always do, is how it compared with, how did it compare with the previews? What did you kind of expect to go in seeing, and how was what you saw the same or perhaps different?
I thought... I guess when you actually watch the movie, there's a lot more happening than what the previews show you.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it shows you like, oh, I am Hercules. Ooh, I'm, you know, super strong, son of gods. And then you get into the movie and it just kind of throws you for a loop in a fun way, because it shows you that he may or may not have been the son of gods, and how it could have worked without that. But
yeah,
it's an amazing movie. I liked that. I thought it was a cool twist and tease for you.
Yeah, I thought it was. I thought that was a cool take on it. That it's not just wanting you to accept that his being the child of Zeus as fact.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think, Bobby?
I pretty much got what I expected. I mean, going into it, I knew it was based off the Hercules Thracian Wars comic, so it was going to be a little bit different twist, and it was later on in his life after, you know, supposedly after the whatever the seven challenges, whatever they were called. but I actually enjoyed it. I mean, there was some... I was a little concerned at the beginning, which we could get into a little bit later, but I think, to me, when you see a preview for a movie like that anyway, I go into it expecting to be able to just turn my brain off, and I want to watch them destroy stuff. I'm not expecting a deep story. I'm not expecting, you know, some groundbreaking, you know, filmmaking.
Yeah.
I'm expecting the Rock to break shit.
Yeah.
You know, and he did, and I was actually surprised about how much story we actually got.
Yeah, I was too. I was kind of going in expecting a modern take with modern special effects of the classic, you know, Lou Ferrigno or one of any dozen, you know, other guys who, you know, who go in and look really good in a washcloth. And, you know,
well,
you don't expect a lot of acting ability, and you're very forgiving because they look great in a washcloth.
and you have
Strong Guy and you have Posse. This starts out. I was really impressed because from the get go, you get monsters, and it's almost a checklist monster. It's like, okay, you want to see a giant, I don't know, lion? Here's a giant lion. Okay, wow. Here's a giant. What we got? A boar. Giant boar. Here we go. Go. And really big dog. Big dog. Go.
I think that aspect, though, is going to be one of the things that's going to kill it for some people.
Oh, really?
Because, I mean, we've even had a conversation with another friend of ours who, because of the trailer, all the stuff they show at the opening scene of the movie, telling the tale of Hercules going through the trials, you know, is what they show in the trailer.
Uh-huh.
So the advertisement is giving you that perception that the movie is very mythological with these fighting large creatures and all this stuff, you know, and that one friend of ours was talking about how he was really excited because that had this Clash of the Titans look to it.
Yeah.
You know, and in reality, it's not. It's more on, you know, realism and, you know, when they explain later in the film, you know, what really happened during the post-credits of how he really defeated these things and, you know, and it's I think that's going to, people are going to watch it on some level, on some aspects are going to be disappointed because they're going to think, where the hell are all the monsters at? You know?
Yeah.
They show up and they leave, but I thought it was a great twist in the story because it gives you something you don't expect.
Yeah, I see what you're talking about. It kind of, what I was going to say, it kind of turns into, it turns into Thor without the magic.
Right.
What do you think, Drusilla? Did you like what it turned into?
I liked it. I thought it just made sense because, you know, sometimes you watch these things and it's so unbelievable, which I know, okay, if he's the son of Zeus, that makes sense. But, you know, to be able to bring it into kind of the real world and explain how it would have happened, that it was always him and his team of five people, you know, fighting these creatures, but even so that the creatures ended up being, like, for instance, the five-headed snake thing,
uh-huh.
It ended up just being people with snake masks. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it makes it a little bit more believable. So either it's, like Bobby said, it's either going to really make some people like it, like me, or it's going to make people think it's just stupid and ridiculous and they're going to hate the movie. So I can see both sides to it.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about the snake mask thing. That's brilliant because it even goes so far as to saying that the mythological creatures don't exist at all in the same way that the what was it, the centaurs?
Yeah,
that they were convinced they were just some high riding fellas.
Well, yeah. You know, the one thing that kind of threw me for a little bit too, and thankfully they kind of went back and show you that, you know, the truth to these creatures, because the lion he's wearing on his head is not the same lion he's killing in the myth. Because that would have been, that head would have covered his entire body.
Right.
You know, so when they cut from that and they show him with the lion head, I'm thinking, first thing in my brain was like, well, that's stupid. That's not even the same lion head. It can't fit his head like that. You know, but I just thought, okay, we're supposed to let that go.
Right.
You know, so I was glad to see that they twisted that, you know, to show that it wasn't necessarily these mythical creatures.
But remember, he also had his hype man. His nephew was his hype guy that was
right.
Selling all these stories.
Oh, yeah, which I thought was awesome.
Brilliant.
It was all his marketing.
Yeah, it was brilliant that he, because of him telling these stories, everybody believed them to be true. All these mythical creatures and this armor can't be pierced and the helmet and, you know, all these things. It was so funny. It was amazing.
Well,
but it's true.
What I thought was really clever, and it's very subtle, but throughout the whole movie, not only does The Rock never agrees to what the guy is saying.
Right.
He always kind of just like, you know, it, whatever the legend says, you know, but he's also, you can see he's partially irritated by him telling the stories.
Right.
Because, you know, he likes the legend because it creates the myth for their mercenary business. But you can see when he tells the story sometimes, he looks at him with this look of like, really, again, come on, you know, we all know it's bullshit, you know, you know, but it buys into the thing and kind of serves that bigger point.
Right. Yeah, I liked the fact that it was just all kind of an understood bit that kept them all going, and you could tell that the way they talked that they were toward the end of their adventures. I don't know that there was a bank anywhere, but some hole in the ground that it was almost full of gold, and this is going to be like the last deposit they needed to get that swampland in Florida or whatever it is they wanted. And of course, you know, here he comes, has to bring up that whole murder of his family thing again, and you know, tilt after that windmill, and everybody's like, come on, okay, come on, no, that's not the plan.
Well, that was one of the few things that I didn't like that it was so directly connected automatically, you know, that the that, you know, the guy, the king that killed his family was all directly connected to things, because
right.
It was that part of it. I mean, it didn't ruin the movie, but it was so cliche.
It's too convenient.
You know, it's like you knew that this guy was going to somehow be involved or show back up, especially when you have Joseph Fiennes showing up, when you know he's not going to show up with that bad hair for 3 minutes. he's going to be back, so he had to be back for something, and what else could have been, you know?
Right.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was supposed to be some sort of morality tale where, you know, they thought they were on the side of truth and justice when actually they were just, you know, going for the person that was paying for them and buying into literally what their story was, is they were so busy getting these guys to believe their story, they didn't appreciate the fact that they were buying a story themselves.
Nothing. Well, I tell you who got ripped off. Sorry, who got ripped off with their 3 minutes of screen time was The Rock's wife in this movie.
Oh my God, yes.
She's so pretty, but I don't think she might speak a lot of English because her real name is Irina Shakashamalova. So I'm like, yeah, she probably.
No, I think what it is they told her. She's probably said, "I'm not going to do any nudity," and they said, "Okay, we're done with you."
Think so? Because she is a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model.
Yeah, they don't do nudity. They just run around in bikinis.
Yeah.
They're the people that tempt you and tempt you and tempt you and never give you the goods.
Well, she got her shot, and she was on film for, what, like 3 minutes and just laying there in blood.
I'm sure there's a deleted scene on the DVD and Blu-ray when it comes out of her kissing The Rock and whatever.
Well, I hope so, because that's the only thing we didn't get. We didn't get any sexy Rock time.
Yeah.
I don't...
He had three kids, but he didn't show any footage making.
He was too busy. We don't need to...
have to have a sex scene. Come on.
No, that's the problem. Here's the thing. And I would have actually been upset, not because I don't want to see The Rock have sex, because we all know everyone wants to see The Rock have sex. But no, in this film, I actually think it was a smart decision to not have the sex scene and not have a whole lot with the family, because... One, it was kind of shrouded in mystery, so the less they give you, that keeps the audience kind of mystified about what happened as well. But also, if you threw in the sex scene, then it kind of takes away from the myth of it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it, I mean, again, we all want to see it. But
right.
I want to make it make sense to the story.
Oh, goodness.
or just be his personal tape that we found and posted on the internet.
Right.
Yeah, and I guess that's the same reason we didn't see the other guys, the guy's daughter-in-law, get all seducey, trying to get him to help her.
Well, okay. she needed to hook up with the crazy dude who was my favorite in the whole movie. That guy with the crazy head and just kept wanting to run into everything and kill everything was my. I was really sad when he died. It was my. I didn't even care about The Rock when that guy showed up. I was like, that dude is the man. The Rock ain't nothing without that guy right there.
He had some passion. He had passion.
He had what they call crazy.
He probably didn't even know they were getting paid.
There's an extreme difference between passion and crazy. That guy was crazy. when you gotta chain somebody up at night because he has nightmares, that guy's crazy.
Aww. Which was okay. Well, I did like the other lady, the other sidekick, which was the only girl on the team. I really liked her. I thought she did a good job.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't know what else he does.
She was in the way though of the crazy guy. She needed to just get out of the way.
Well,
his whole team should have just been those crazy people.
I don't know. She and crazy guy might have a. You know, she maybe a little connection there. Maybe crazy just kind of really liked her, and you know, he would drive her around so she could shoot her arrows.
That's true. They were working together.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure they were driving around doing other things too.
Well, you know.
Oh, and then I like that Rufus guy. What's his name, dear?
Rufus Sewell.
I love him.
despite her doing and mocking his face before we, I hope he listens to the show because I want him to know what you said. She was talking about how his face is all lopsided, and then when I said it, she goes, "He didn't look that lopsided. He must have had something done to his face." I'm like, he looks exactly the same.
No, he had a weird eye thing earlier in his career.
He did not have. Like he's not Forrest Whitaker. He did not have a weird eye thing.
He had a weird eye thing. It's okay if you don't believe me.
If I don't believe you.
Yes, but he is a good actor, and I enjoyed that he was in the movie because it was a surprise. I didn't know he was in it. I was, I guess, so focused on the commercials and just seeing The Rock in his towel, as Catherine said, washcloth, that I wasn't paying attention.
Here's the thing, though, is and this kind of makes me concerned because I was really hoping when the movie ended, because it is a lot of fun, but it opens up to be able to do more films, but they've been capitalizing. If you look, most of The Rock's films, when he's the lead by himself, don't do that well. But he's such a bankable star because he's considered the savior of franchises with Fast Furious and G.I. Joe and stepping in and just dominating. You know, he's like the number two, you know, well-paid actor or made most money in the year, whatever it was. But it seems every time he does something by himself, I think it doesn't hurt it because I think he carries a movie perfectly. But I think they market it wrong because they start marketing as just him, and that's all the trailers were all him.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know Rufus Sewell's in it. You don't know Joseph Fiennes in it. You don't know John Hurt's in it. You know, and you if they were to show these other people a little bit more instead of just saying, look, here's a Rock with his tablecloth, his loincloth and his muscles and, you know, and his lion head and he's going to fight. We know that's what he's going to do in a Hercules movie. Let us see that there's a little more to this movie.
Yeah. That might have been an attraction for some people. I mean, I don't know. It could have attracted more people.
Well, one of my gripes okay, you've accepted the fact that they've just built this legend around him, and even though he's in fantastic shape and they're all real good fighters that all work well together, he's just a guy. And so here comes the end of the movie where for one or another inexplicable reason, the giant 4 billion ton statue of Hera has been put on like 7 table legs. And if you go to the back of a giant massive statue and you break the table legs that are close to you, instead of falling back and crushing you, the statue will actually fall forward and roll down the stairs.
Now, if you want to get technical,
Oh, yes, please.
The reason it fell the direction it did is because, you remember, he was lifting it from that side, so he was tilting it at that angle. So he was tilting it towards the people, and it didn't fall towards the people. It actually fell sideways. So it actually fell at a more natural direction as opposed to falling straight forward. He was not pushing, and he wasn't breaking the thing. He was lifting.
Okay.
So he pushed it straight up like an overhead military press, which in turn would be pushing it towards the crowd.
But it wasn't just on a single axle. It was on a round series of pedestals.
You realize?
I guarantee you, if he would have broken the back two pedestals, it may have rocked forward in one direction, but then it would come toward the path of least resistance, which was right over his lion head.
You do realize this is Hercules?
Yes, yes.
And so, you're arguing about Hercules?
Well, I'm whining.
Doing a Herculean feat.
I'm whining because he was supposed to be just a regular guy now, and I bought into it. I'm
well,
like,
you know earlier
that's a giant pill. I'll swallow it.
Okay,
it's like wait a minute. What about the big pill?
If we're gonna go into that argument, then we have to go into that battle before he did the I Am Hercules stuff earlier in the film when they fought those villagers that turned evil.
Okay,
when he kicked a cart about half a mile through a crowd. And he didn't seem to have a problem with that.
I I don't know. Maybe it was like a bamboo cart or something.
It was balsa wood? Is that what we're going to go with? The balsa wood cart?
It's balsa.
Well, I think that's kind of the point of the movie, too, is it leaves you to decide, do you think he really was, you know, son of Zeus, or if he was just a normal man?
Yeah, okay.
Maybe he did start off being normal with the help of his friends, but I feel like towards the end with that whole I am Hercules and the statue thing, that he maybe had to prove to himself that he was who people thought he was. Like maybe he didn't believe the hype himself until the end.
Right.
But the other thing, I know I'm probably reading way too much into this, but I thought it was an interesting commentary just on today about popularity of stars and actors that we believe all this hype. You know, a random example. Like when they leaked that sound clip of Britney Spears singing and she can't sing for crap, but you listen to an album and it sounds good because of all the work they do.
Okay.
I feel like things like that happen all the time with these celebrities, that they're probably just normal ass people like we are, but people create this hype. They have those people that market for them and advertise and sell them, and we believe all this stuff about them.
Wow.
You know, and you see things like, I never knew. Like, who was it dear the other day? And it's like, wow, he's really short. But I didn't know that because, you know, when they film things, they put them on blocks or they put them on incline. It's amazing what they do.
Oh, that's a really good observation. Yeah.
I'm getting deep.
No, I like it. Yay.
Yeah. I just want everybody to be clear that she got deep on the way home, ignoring the fact before that, I had to wipe all the drool off her mouth as she was coming out of the theater from watching him naked half the time.
Well, yeah, because
but you know, the only thing I don't like about The Rock is like his bottom half is too skinny. His legs are too thin. I don't like that.
I actually disagree with you. His legs are freaking huge.
But they look slim. Like when I look at your legs, dear, your legs look girthier. I don't know if that's a good word. Legs look so slim. I don't like it.
The reason his legs look the way they do, because he's one of the few bodybuilder type guys that actually do probably just as much leg training. He has huge thighs, he has huge calves, but he has such a small percentage of body fat. He gets the small ankle. Me and my wife were actually talking about ankles the other day for some stupid reason.
Ankles.
And I have very small ankles, but I have big calves. So it's very prominent, and that's how his are. His ankles are very small, but he's got such a huge upper frame. His legs, no matter how big he gets them, his legs are going to always look small because the rest of him is so massive.
Hmm. Well, since he's trained so well, and being a fighter yourself, are the fights, with the exception of throwing giant carts around, pretty realistic as to how they're, I don't know, done?
Yes and no. There was a lot of cash thrown into the wind, if you will, for this kind of fights. When you do these big battle sequences, the ones that were probably the more realistic ones, at least in my opinion, were the ones with the actual regular soldiers and the, you know, like, Ian McShane, who, you know, when he has a spear and even the crazy guy with his hatchets. Mm-hmm. Those are the more likely fights of those kind of things, of people just going ape shit, you know, whereas, you know, you always look in these kind of films like, you know, The Rock, while he's supposed to be the biggest, baddest ass one of the group, they have purposely centered out his fight so you can see every single thing he does.
Yeah.
Because that's what you want to see.
Right.
Whereas you go to these other guys, it's like this whirlwind of fury taking out four guys at once with them spinning and hacking and, you know, but as a whole, the fighting in this movie was done really, really well. I mean, even the stuff that's ridiculous and unbelievable was still done so well that you buy into it.
Cool.
You know, that sequence when the chariot gets flipped and the chick with the bow and the crazy guy go flying, they should have been dead.
And they got up
like, we fell down.
It's like, hey, we flew very far.
And I was fine with it because I'm like, more crazy guy.
Well, I can see the crazy guy walking away from us. Hey, my ankle's broken. Yay.
And that's the one thing that pissed me off in the movie was that he was the one that had to die.
Yeah, and you know, he missed him. Like, it was like their pet, you know. You know, like Lassie going in and, and, you know, taking a bullet for the team.
Well, it was probably the only character that would have had that emotional punch because he spoke for the first time to him, and you know, and you could tell how he really cared about him from being a child, and he's had the sympathy for him because he knew this guy was tortured mentally and emotionally. But at the same time, if they were hoping to be able to do more of a franchise with this, that character would have had such a cool backstory that they could have. That's one of those that I would have thought ahead and say, let's, you know, we can get him all shot up and then just say, you know, he survived because he's a freaking nutball.
Yeah, he could have had a whole injured movie himself.
Yeah, but they could have embellished on that storyline of him now getting vengeance on the people that killed his village and stuff, and you start to learn more about him later on, and still been another Hercules adventure.
Yeah. So they could still go back and do a prequel about his story and Hercules saved them.
I don't want a prequel. No, because Hercules found him as a young boy.
Okay, well then maybe they.
I don't want a young boy. I want the crazy guy. I don't want little Richie Cunningham running around with his freckles and happy about everything, you know. And then at the end he becomes the crazy guy. I want the crazy guy for 2 hours. Okay. And I want a movie just called Hercules and the Crazy Guy.
Mostly crazy guy.
That'd be an awesome TV series. On this week's episode of Hercules and the Crazy Guy, Hercules loses his clothes and Crazy Guy kills a bunch of people.
Wow. Okay. I'm enjoying that in my mind.
Hercules never wears any clothes except for when he's, you know, played by some actor that's trying to be respectful of his career, and then of course his movie dies and nobody ever hears from him again. I can't even remember how many people actually played Hercules at the point. I remember three people that played Hercules. The Rock, Kellan Lutz in that Legend of Hercules, the movie, the other one that came out this year that was not a good Hercules movie, and then Lou Ferrigno, who did like two or three of them.
Yeah, all the other stuff like that I remember seeing. I don't know if it was supposed to be Hercules or a guy that was some legendary person similar to Hercules, but it's always a foreign film that's been dubbed very badly. And
I apologize, Arnold Schwarzenegger played Hercules as well.
What about Kevin Sorbo in The Legend of Hercules?
Like I said, people that actually played Hercules.
Wow.
I hated the heck of it. Kevin Sorbo should have never been Hercules. I'm sorry. I'm sure the show was fine. I didn't watch the show, and he's a nice guy. I met him in person. I think he's a great guy, and I think he was awesome in Call the Conqueror, but he was too tiny to be Hercules. I'm sorry. He did not have the visual presence that Hercules is supposed to have.
Well, we saw the Hercules movie at the Alamo Theater, and the Alamo will show clips of things before the movie actually starts, and they showed a clip of a movie that I did not know existed, and and if you would have told me about it, I would have called you such a liar. It was Hercules Goes to New York.
It's Hercules. Is that the one, Arnold Schwarzenegger?
It's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I have seen that movie.
And he battles a bear in Central Park.
That movie is awesome. It's Hercules in New York, and they dubbed his voiceover for most of the movie. It is awesome. It was made in 1969. It was one of Arnold Schwarzenegger's very first films.
Yeah, apparently a bear is loose from the zoo. The bear is in Central Park, and Hercules hops out because he's on a tour of New York with his gal pal, and he single handedly beats the shit out of the bear.
Well, you know what's funny about that film as a whole, because I know you can watch. Besides what you just said.
Like there's one thing?
What's funny is, you know, he's sent to Earth, and then he immediately gets into the bodybuilding business. That just proves my point, that you have to be a huge dude to play Hercules, because even that filmmaker, as bad as that movie is, they knew that Hercules would be a bodybuilder if he was here.
Go with what you know.
I can't believe you've never seen that movie, dear.
Why would I in 1969? I wasn't here.
I wasn't here either, but...
And yes, you were.
I hadn't been here for long.
And his name in the movie, just so you know, was Arnold Strong.
Wow.
No.
Because he didn't know English?
No. He was Hercules, but I'm saying I missaid that. His name in the credits was Arnold Strong. He was not Arnold Schwarzenegger yet. He had won Mr. Universe, and they slapped him in there to they're like, ooh, this will be successful, and it of course it wasn't.
So what do you think about my observation about Thor without the magic? You see the bit of the parallel there with Thor and his posse, and
I do with him and the Warriors Three or whatever they're called.
Yeah, kicking ass. And
oh, I completely agree with you. I think it was basically just the same Thor idea. It's we got to watch Thor on his day off with his buddies.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, I don't need the hammer. I'm going to take this big club today.
That's right. Now it's club day.
I will say I was concerned, and I'm so glad it took a turn. The opening of the film, getting past his origins, not the cool of him killing stuff and telling this story, but when he goes and saves the guy from being anally raped by that wooden spike.
Yes.
that I hope people that have heard this has not seen the movie, because that makes that sequence so much more curious. that sequence, usually when you have a movie like that, they usually do a big action sequence or something to set the tone so you know what you're walking into.
Right.
That was such a horrible scene. It was so... I thought it was so cheese, and it was cliched, and then, you know, it almost came off goofy.
Yeah, it's almost Pirates of the Caribbean, I thought.
Yeah, it was kind of silly, and so when I first saw that sequence in my mind, I'm like, oh my god, this movie is going to suck. You know, thankfully, it quickly got away from that and went off on its normal tail, but that scene almost doesn't fit in the rest of the movie.
Right. I agree with you. It was very Pirates of the Caribbean. It was like, okay, is this going to be just, what's the next shtick, and what's, you know, where's the monkey, and, but like you said, fortunately it took a turn for the better and left all that behind.
I believe also I was telling my wife there, when we left the theater, one of the big issues I have too, and it's not really an issue with the movie, but for, you know, physically and visually, The Rock was born to play this role.
Mm-hmm.
His voice, not so much.
Aww. Yeah.
He does not, he works fine, don't get me wrong. I mean, he's gotten to be a really great actor over the years, and he did fine job in the movie. It didn't thing, you know, but when you see somebody like him, he's so soft-spoken, and he's such a, you know, just, you can tell he's kind of a kind-hearted man, you know, the gentle giant thing. But when you see somebody like, you expect like Vin Diesel's voice, or the guy, my wife mentioned the guy that's in Underworld, that whose voice talks like somebody's cranked the bass up so loud that you can't understand anything he's saying. That's the voice I expect. So when he's yelling, I am Hercules, you know, you expect, you know, seeing Guardians of the Galaxy, I want Groot's voice in Hercules.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. So you know, everybody, if all of our listeners are curious, uh-huh, you can watch the entire Hercules in New York movie for $2.99 on YouTube.
And you know, you really should. Just for
you really should. It's an amazing piece of cinema that should never have existed.
Just for the bear scene, because because apparently, in New York, and this is something that I didn't know, if a bear is loose and running into Central Park, the New Yorkers are that jaded that the only two people who give a shit is the guy with the tranquil gun and the zookeeper that are chasing the bear, tracking the bear to Central Park. No one else is watching, taking pictures, getting involved, frightened or concerned in any way. It's just, you know, it's like, bear, meh. And you know, Hercules gets all worked up because he's from out of town.
Well, he's bored. He came off of Mount Olympus, and now he's bored, and, you know, he's trying to work on his bodybuilding career, so, you know, he's got a... kind of slowly build things up to it. You know, what do you do when you're bored? You pick a fight with a bear.
Yeah, and that was probably a pretty expensive bear too. And I think he offs the poor thing. And they're like, you know, well, hell, but we were just gonna, you know, sedate it and drag it back to the zoo. Not that they'd brought a van with them or anything. And, you know, now here, you know, how they're out of bear. I hope they've got the thing insured. So, but that's all I got to say. So yeah, I need to watch that movie just for the closure.
You should. You know what's sad? I've seen that movie two or three times.
So what, did they just leave the bear there? Do they even?
I don't, you know, it's not a movie that sticks with you. Let me just say that. Like, you know, there's some movies that you see them and then you walk away and pretend you didn't see them, but you somehow can't help but watch it again if it comes on. You're like, holy crap, I haven't seen this movie for years. Then you finish it and you realize why you haven't seen it in years. But now I'll be the first to tell you, if they were to give it a special edition Blu-ray collector's edition treatment, I'll be the first one to buy it. I need that one and I need the villain and I'll be happy.
Okay.
Y'all know the villain, right?
Yep. Let's pretend I don't.
It's the it's the one with Kirk Douglas and Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it's a Western. Y'all haven't seen this movie?
Nope.
Oh my God, this movie is amazing. Let me tell you, screw Hercules. We're talking about the villain. I'm trying to remember what year they made it in. It was another one of those early Arnold Schwarzenegger ones. And he basically played I think it was 1979, but he played the man in the white hat, I believe. It was basically like watching Roadrunner and Coyote. Like, literally. and I'm not meaning that, like, in comparison, I'm talking literally. Kirk, he played a guy named Handsome Stranger, and he was giving Anne Margaret, that's who it was, riding her around, taking her somewhere. And meanwhile, the bad guy, who's Kirk Douglas, in all black, is trying to stop her, kill him and kidnap her. And he's got this horse, so he's doing stuff. And I'm talking about, he's falling off cliffs. It's got the sound effects of the Roadrunner and Coyote. It is
no
the most
way.
Amazing piece of cinema I have ever seen.
Wow.
I can't believe y'all have seen that. I've seen that movie hundreds of times. I actually used to own that on VHS.
That sounds like it would really stick with you.
That one does stick with you because you can't let that one go.
Well, okay, I guess we got it. I'll have to go. I'll see if I can track that down on Netflix or something like that.
To give you credibility for it, it's direct. By the same person that did Smokey and the Bandit and Hooper and Cannonball Run. So it's not like it was made by some schlub. It was somebody who had kind of some clout at that time in the film industry, and then he made that, and I think he might have died after that.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. You're really selling it there.
It was like Hal Hedeman something or other. I don't remember. Needman. I don't remember his name.
Oh,
anyway,
my
matter.
Gosh.
The villain. The villain. Check it out.
The villain. Okay. Well, Drusilla, since you're company, I am going to let you. Do you want to close with anything that else you want to add about the movie and let us know how you'd recommend it?
I think everyone should go see it. It's a lot of fun. If you're expecting anything really deep and heavy and story driven, I guess don't go see it because it's just. Fun movie. I mean, if you're expecting something really deep, this is probably not the movie for you.
If you want your life changed, then, you know, nah.
Yeah, it's not an Academy Award winning film, but it is a good movie. It's a fun movie. I think it's something families can go see, and especially if you like The Rock in a small little loincloth, this is a good movie.
Which, that is appealing to both guys and girls, and his popularity in the WWE.
Broad fan base would like it.
I think okay. Well, how many out of five? How many stars would you give it?
I would give it like a 4.
Okay, that's good. Okay, I'm gonna go next. I'm gonna say 4 stars as well. It was fun. I really really enjoyed it, and I thought for a no brainer entertainer, it was actually pretty well acted. better than I expected. The critters were cool, and the fights were cool, and there wasn't too many slow, boring, tender moments between when somebody else got their asses kicked. So yeah, 4 stars. Go see it. What do you think, Bobby?
I actually agree with both of you. I'll probably lean more towards 3 to 3.5, but only because, not because it's a bad movie. I actually would watch it again, and I'm sure I'll own it, because I like all things The Rock, whether he's got clothes on or not. But I think, as I mentioned earlier, I think the misdirection with the trailer may hinder some people, and it threw me a little bit as well, because I was looking forward to him fighting some big monstrous creatures. But it's got a very clever new direction for the character that they haven't really done before, which quickly gets you out of that oh man, there's not monsters, and into a, this is actually not a bad little story. And I thought it was very intelligent that they kept it at a very short run film at only like 1.5 hours. So it gets to the point, gets you tons of fighting, mm-hmm. just enough story to move it along, but not enough to bog it down with nonsense.
Right. I agree. Well, usually with our guests, we invite them to promote any websites or any projects they're working on. Drusilla, do you do online things or stuff that our audience needs to dial up and pay attention to?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Everyone be socially responsible. Read the news.
Yay! What the hell? Try to think at least once a day.
Yeah.
Socially responsible.
Well, you should read the news and be aware of what's happening on our planet.
I agree.
That are like missing in war-torn countries, homeless children, all these bad things are happening in the world. So that's why you should go watch a movie instead. It'll make you happy.
That's why you should see Hercules, because none of that's happening there.
Right.
Well, Bobby, what all do you have going on?
Well, before I plug anything, I do want to say, because it started after talking about the villain.
Okay.
It got me thinking. I knew there was somebody else in this movie.
All right.
And I know Drew's not going to know who half these people are, but you might.
Okay.
The film also has Paul Lynn, Ruth Buzzy, and Mel Tillis. So.
I know who all three of those people are.
I figured you
Cause,
would.
Because I'm old people.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, but... Anyway,
I was 4 years old in 1969.
Well, this one came out in 1979, so...
Oh, wow.
I was actually born when that one came out, and so was Drew.
Nice.
Anyway, I have my webcomic that I haven't updated in quite some time, laststopcomic.com. There are 6 years' worth of webcomics, and eventually I promise I will be getting back to it, as well as the You Are Here... Sunday Funnies on the Jedi Cole Universe that I have been forced into drawing for Cole under slavery rules. We also have the
you
first
should
year.
Read what you sign.
Exactly. We also have the first volume, the Your First Year Here, You Are Here, Volume 1, available now from me and Cole, as well as at Urban Legend Comics in Mesquite and some store in Austin that I still never remember the name
Tribe.
Of.
Tribe.
What?
Tribe.
Tribe Comics. I'm going to remember this one day. Probably. Not. And I write for the Dallas Examiner, so if you want to check out my movie reviews or anything else, and check out my upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy review that has already caused some major buzz thanks to Cole.
And speaking of which, I do believe our next What You Think is going to be a crossover, if I'm not mistaken, with Hey Kids Comics.
Yes, it is. I have talked to him and confirmed that is what he wanted to do as well, so that was going to be the next question.
Ooh. So our what do you want to call that, a crossover? Chaotic mishmash.
I like chaotic mishmash.
It's a recreation of pop culture.
That's right. I love that.
My wife, Drew hasn't seen that yet. I don't believe. I haven't told her about that.
That's awesome. That's a Bobby phrase. See, now we need a word for a Bobby phrase.
My wife has already coined the phrase. What is it?
Which one?
When you post my phrases or anything that I post, I say.
Oh, the Bobbyism.
It's a Bobbyism for a collectible.
Yeah, somebody told me that I was not an adult because I had a room full of Star Wars toys, and I said, no, they're professional recreations of pop culture.
That is true.
It's magnificent, and it needs to be in Wikipedia. Somebody get this in Wikipedia right now.
It's copyrighted, so back off.
Ta-da! Well, all I can do is pimp the next episode of What'd You Think here on the Jedi Cole Universe. Thanks for joining us, and as always, please send us feedback. We absolutely adore the attention, and at the JCU at JediCole.com. Thanks so much. Thanks for joining us, Drew, and take care. Bye.
Bye.